So how do we measure then follow-up? So this comes to now a big challenge that we are facing, which is how do we now measure the implementation of recommendations, whether from the first cycle, second cycle, subsequent cycles. One thing that we have tried to do, and I will talk you through it, and then I will tell you why it hasn't worked. One thing that we have tried to do is we have tried to set up some indicators to measure the implementation. These indicators would be basically a stock-taking tool to assess the implementation using indicative questions as a guiding framework, because we found that indicators themselves are very difficult because of the ways in which UPR recommendations are formulated. UPR recommendations, by and large, are not very specific, they're not very measurable, and they're not time-bound. So it makes it very difficult to actually do a concrete assessment. Therefore, we decided that instead of indicators, we would have questions that indicate some kind of progress. This draws from the OHCHR's human rights indicators. The OHCHR's human rights indicators were actually designed to measure the implementation of some of the rights in the human rights treaties. So they don't apply completely, but they are kind of inspired by the OHCHR indicators. The OHCHR indicators take place at three levels. One is a structural level, then there's a process level, and then an outcome level. At the structural level, you are really looking at, on the one hand, ratification and adoption of legal instruments. On the other hand, you're also looking at what kind of legislation exists, what kind of policy framework exists that corresponds to that particular recommendation. And then you're looking at the process indicators. So these process indicators actually help in monitoring the fulfillment of that particular accepted recommendation. Often, the governments, when they talk about whether or not they have implemented a certain UPR recommendation, they're always talking in terms of structural or process level. We have ratified this convention, we have adopted a specific law, or, for instance, we have conducted X number of trainings for certain authorities. Very rarely are we talking about outcome indicators. Outcome indicators then talks about really the attainments, what has been the change that has taken place. So we have applied this actually to a few countries, and I'm just going to give one example from Indonesia. There was an accepted recommendation to conduct human rights trainings for law enforcement officials with the view to combat impunity. So the Indonesian government took the first half, conduct human rights trainings for law enforcement officials, and kind of put combating impunity to the side. And the ways in which we measured this was, first of all, what policy measures exist and who are the focal points, basically. Who are the institutions and the agencies that are in charge of conducting these? And we found, basically, that there is, in their National Human Rights Action Plan, very, very concretely set out provisions for human rights trainings for law enforcement officials, and that it does have a line ministry in charge, which is the Ministry of Human Rights and Justice. In addition to that, they also signed a number of technical assistance programs for bilateral assistance with donor countries to assist with this. At the process level, we were asking, so then, if it exists at the structural level, then how many trainings were in fact conducted? Who are the recipients? Where were they conducted in the country, and what was the follow-up?